it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Victory Monday in 20 minutes. We'll get back into what the Falcons did last night on Sunday Night Football, getting their record to 1-1, taking down the Vikings in a pretty hostile environment. Now, it got unhostile as the game went on, but it was loud as hell in there to start. Obviously, that was the same. It was crazy in Knoxville. It was crazy over there at Bobby Dodd. Like, a lot of really fun environments, a lot of fun football games. We'll get to the college football reactions in just a minute. Do want to let you know, first hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course, Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. And as we always do on Mondays, we'll get to back-to-back NFL no huddles at noon. So we'll do a little bit more on the Falcons and then get to everything else that happened for the first 45 minutes of the noon hour.
Yeah, just a great all-around weekend. Like you said, the game's over here. First of all, I got to give a shout-out to 12U Parkview. What a freaking game they played. End up winning in overtime. Just a great, great. They got down by two touchdowns.
So everybody
they battled back. Oh, yeah. And I'm telling you, when I tell you them young boys, man, they were going to get people. Like that D-line, the D-line with Samson and them on there, with Samson and Kendrick, dude, they were tossing folk. They done knocked kids out there. They brought the cart out for one kid, Andy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, man, they brought the cart out for one kid, man. They were out there thumping, man. But Grayson, shout out to them. They played a great game. But, yeah, so proud of Coach Rico and the coaches at, two in a row, baby.
That's great.
Two in a row.
That's great. So, yeah, a winning weekend all the way around. Yeah. Falcons, Georgia Tech. We'll get into all of it. Let's start with what Kirby Smart said about his quarterback after the game. Gunnar Stockton, that is.
I thought he grew up tonight. He grew up a lot. Like, he stood in there, and the fourth down throw he made was really good. And protection was better. I still want him to trust the pocket and stay in there. But, you know, that's who he is. I think we're going to evolve with him where we can scramble and make some really big-time plays. He'll keep his eyes downfield when he scrambles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought, yeah, he grew up, and I think the biggest thing, like that fourth down throw, that it don't get no more big time than that. It's a great catch by Humphreys, too.
What is that route? Like, what is that play?
Inside fade route,
because
man.
He's excellent at throwing that pass.
Yeah, inside fade route, man.
He threw four or five of those, and they were on the money.
Yeah, that inside fade route, man, because it's basically, you as an inside receiver, you're getting to a spot. And the quarterback's job to throw you where he did. And, I mean, you can't throw – a ball better than that ball he threw to Humphreys.
Yeah, that fourth down throw to Humphreys to get, you know, that ended up tying the game on two. He had one on the first drive that was beautiful. He had one early in the second half that got them into field goal range that they took the lead 30-28. Like, that's a nice – again, that's something we hadn't seen.
Right.
That's like a lot of stuff we hadn't seen from Gunnar Stockton because he just hadn't played very much, and then they completely held back so much stuff in the first two games of the season. He's good. He's a good quarterback.
Yeah, man.
He can do a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they got some fun players. I think Zachariah, well, he showed you again. Just give him the damn ball.
Goodness.
Just give him the damn ball, you know. But, I mean, just to start off, I mean, Georgia played what Georgia does. We're going to play man-to-man bump and run coverage, and we're going to challenge you and dare you to make these throws. And Aguilar, give him credit, man. He was dicing our ass up.
Yeah, he's good, too.
And he was making throws, and that system was working. And then when Georgia was able to start getting stops, then you're like, okay, we can get some stops. Because they can't stop Georgia either. They couldn't stop us either. So you get the stops and everything like that, and you got the right stops. Then, obviously, they come down, get an opportunity to win the game. Kid misses the field goal. Once he missed the field goal, I said, that's a wrap. We got him. Once he missed the field goal, that's a wrap. But the biggest one was a second down stop in overtime for Georgia. I was like, oh. Because I was like, okay, we got him. We got him now. And then obviously they kicked the field goal. First play, what a great play called by Bobo, just running Nate Frazier off left tackle. And then Nate goes again and said,
well, who was the offensive lineman that pulled all the way around to the left side, dude, and threw just, I mean,
I was so
that
worried.
Corner had to be so surprised when he was over there.
Because he was like, whoa! And then he knocks him out.
Guy?
And then obviously Nate does the rest. And then, you know, you get in. I was like, what are y'all reviewing? Touchdown. That's game time. That's game time, man. And I mean, you going to tell me that Georgia's going to score 40 points a week? 40 points a game? Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it's going to be – if they score 40 points a game now, they did get a 41, but not too many offenses are like that.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to be – I don't think they're going to be facing that sort of receiving core
Yes.
every single week. That Chris, we talked about Chris Brazel on Friday. He's good.
Yes, he is.
He's like, yes. There was a couple of them that was like, uh-oh. I mean, they had to take the young defensive back out of the game after some of what was done to him in the first quarter. And they tightened up. I mean, I thought Georgia played actually a really nice quarter in the third quarter defensively. Got off the field a bunch of times and were able to take
that damn Raylan. You said it by him. That damn Raylan Wilson.
He's a jerk, man. Dude, he loves to hit people.
He hit damn Aguilar so good. Because I was like, he hit Aguilar so, like, you want to so talk hard about exploding through the target?
But just a, like, tackle.
Perfect.
Just a perfect form tackle. It was, and he, I mean, he hit the hell out of it, but just, that's what you teach,
yes,
right there.
That is coaching. That is a process, but yeah, it was so good. It was so great to go up there and get that win in that environment. Like you said, they were down 21-7 and rolling, and that damn crowd was hollering and humming and everything. And for the Kirby, and I know he said in the clip they deserved to win. No, they didn't. They should have won there. All right. No, they deserve winning. No,
well, you take that up with Kirby.
I will.
That's what Kirby said.
I will. I'll see him in a few weeks.
Yes. Let him know.
I'll see him in a few weeks.
He felt a lot entirely like, but a lot like the Alabama game last year where they took a couple haymakers early.
Yes.
Like, Tennessee came out and just flat out punched Georgia in the face a bunch of
like
times.
Like, just jab,
over and over.
Yes.
When it was 21-7, Georgia had to go down the field and score. And they picked up a fourth down on that drive, which was huge. Yes. And then obviously Branch gets that little swing pass and see ya. Like that guy, he's got afterburners that not many have in college football. Yes. And we've seen that a couple times from him now. So that's an element to this offense that they haven't had since
Mecole.
Yeah. Also, that's the 2-point. That's the Chiefs play.
Oh, yeah.
That's the Mecole Hardman Chiefs play for two that they ran on him. I was like, oh, I've seen that before.
Yeah.
I've seen that play before.
Yeah, man.
Because he was wide open.
Yes.
But I mean, obviously, situational coaching is always really tough. And, you know, hindsight is 20/20. But I know Tennessee botched the end of that game, man. Mm-hmm. Like, they got into position and then they kind of started dealing.
Then the offside's been
obviously over. They false start. Yeah. They ice their own guy. And it's easy to say now, but I was saying it. We were at a bar in Savannah with a lot of Tennessee fans and a lot of Georgia fans, and it was very fun to see people chirping at each other, having a good time.
Yeah.
But that poor little kicker.
Yeah.
And they kept flashing up that thing that he's never even attempted a game winning kick or a tying kick.
Yes.
His body language. I was like, no chance.
He's tight. There's no chance.
And, this guy's gonna make the
game. We got him. And then what the coin tells us, oh. Okay, they're going first. They're going to kick a field goal. That's all we're going
to
give up.
I was happy for him that he made the field goal in overtime, just to like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So he could like have a little bit of, but no.
He ain't going to make this one.
No, and they did it to him. Yeah. They did it to him. They slowed it down to the point where he had to think too much about it, moved him back a couple yards, and they did it to him.
Yeah, man. And then, coming back over here to Atlanta, I mean, you want just the atmosphere. They said it was all white. It all started from when they were talking to Haynes King on the football show. And Haynes King said all kind of curse words.
Oh, man. He's cussing.
Yeah.
He didn't even stop throwing. He's, like, doing his warm-up throws.
Can we hurry the hell up so I can get ready for this damn game I'm about to participate in? And you want to talk about taking a team to the woodshed. Now, Clemson battled back. Give them credit.
They did.
But Georgia Tech, and I'm going to tell you again, that damn number 10 is one hell of a player.
Yep.
He is you want to call him a warrior, whatever you want. There's not enough.
He's a great leader.
There's not enough good names great you can leader. Call and say about yep. Haynes King. And 25 more carries. They needed all of them, And for him to be able to lead that team the way he did was unbelievable. And it starts up top because Brent Key, we talked about it on Wednesday, his piss was hot all week. Mm-hmm. He was ornery with the media and everything like that. And then you saw the joy. And I love that there's nothing funner than a victorious locker room. But you can just tell when some are more special than others. They're all special. But this one right here, he wanted this bad. And then for him to get it, fast field goal to win the football game, come on, man. All you can dream about, 55 yards.
Yep.
Like, on the money, too.
Yep. It was
on the money.
It was nailed. The kid nailed it. Obviously, you heard the highlight a few minutes ago. The place goes nuts. There were so many moments in that game of like, wow. This is a really well-coached football team.
Yes.
Like, obviously, just the physicality that they play with. They have such a clear identity. Haynes King is a great leader on the field. Brent Key, obviously, on the sideline. But for them to feel so comfortable in that moment with their kicker, with no timeouts, knowing what they needed to do, the operation was flawless. Everybody got off the field that needed to. Special teams got on the field that needed to. They were lined up with just amount of time. And for him to be able to kick that field goal and win the game was, I don't know. Like, that's something that in years past, you know, Georgia Tech would be in games and then they would self-inflict wounds and lose these games, like sloppiness and stuff like that. Brent Key has a lot of that cleaned up, which is a big part of why they're 3-0 right now. Let's listen to him talk about Haynes King after the game.
You know, it's weird to say. It probably won't make sense to many people, but it's like an extension of me. I feel like I'm playing through him on the field. He's been like that his whole life. And it's funny, you know, talking to Jimbo last night, and he was talking about his time, you know, at the last place he was, and it was the same. It was the same when he was in high school. I mean, that's his character, it's his DNA. When people play the game like that, there's bigger reasons. There's bigger reasons than just the game that day. He's got bigger reasons behind him, and he's. I don't know if I've ever met a tougher guy in my life.
Yeah, he's. I mean, he is. He plays like a damn offensive lineman. Yeah. I mean, this dude, he takes it. But he keeps bringing it, man. I mean, and that's going to be the tell of their season, because this guy does everything for them. Mm-hmm. And I do now believe, kind of believed it last week, they're gonna be in Charlotte.
There's a really good chance.
There's nobody.
Yeah.
The way if this team plays, because there's nobody that can beat them on the schedule.
Florida State and Miami are not on their schedule.
Yes, and that was the biggest thing. When you talk about their ACC schedule, unless they slip up.
Which is
possible.
It's possible. It is possible. I'm behind you what you're saying now, because you start peeking ahead at this schedule.
Yes.
And what you've seen from them in the first 3 weeks of the year, they should be able to beat everyone remaining on their schedule until they get to Georgia.
Yes.
And that's the final game of the season.
Yes.
And we all remember the game last year. It was a great football game.
Yes.
But you got, and again, I don't want to start doing the win-loss thing on their schedule, but it's a really favorable schedule. They'll probably be favored in every game they play until Georgia.
Yes.
And they got through. We said this at the beginning of the year. If they could find a way to sneak either the Clemson game or the Georgia game or one of these other ones that maybe we thought looked a little different before the season started.
Right.
But, Virginia Tech.
Ooh, they just fired.
They fired their coach.
They got drugged by old Dominion.
Duke spent all that money on their quarterback, but they lost again.
They lost to Tulane, right?
There's a lot of you don't know until you see it. And now that we've seen some of these teams, they don't look as good as maybe they could have. There's no reason why they can't be in Charlotte for the ACC championship game.
And I'm talking about even more than anything, college football playoffs.
Yeah, no, seriously.
That's how good this team is with this remaining schedule, with their quarterback, and they got other guys. Like you said, it's uncomfortable playing them because they hunt. They have this team. If you want to talk about a DNA of a team matching their coach, they have it. They have the perfect one. Yep. You know, now Buster has been called by him. He's a hell of a, you know, this might be his last year here.
Yeah.
You know, so you want to take full advantage of that. But for them, and Clemson's just not who we are. And I go back to what Dabo said earlier this week. This team is having a hard time dealing with their early season expectations.
I don't know about that, dog. If that's it, that's tough.
I don't know about that, because
that's not what Saturday was.
No.
That wasn't so much better than these guys and we're not taking them seriously. That was they came in and, because again, much like the Falcons' final score, 24-21, credit to Clemson for coming back at the end of the first half and in the third quarter and scoring. That game could have been a lot worse early.
But then the biggest thing what Tech has got to do, they got to stop turning the damn ball over. They got to stop turning the ball over, man, because that's one of the things where those games that you're on the road against whoever and you lose that game because of a turnover, they got to stop turning the damn ball over.
Yeah, man.
They got to stop turning the damn ball over.
On Friday, we were like, which of the three teams, Falcons, Georgia, and Georgia Tech, would a win mean the most for? And now we don't have to worry about it.
They all won.
They all won.
Yep.
They just all won. That never happens.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And a lot of other teams, all the teams won this game. My son was telling me that was a crazy game. West Georgia had a crazy game.
Really?
I thought Georgia Southern won. Georgia State won. So, I mean, yeah. The Dream won. Their first playoff game. Yeah.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do? Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Great weekend.
Great weekend.
Great. Samson's team won.
Yeah, man.
We made it to Savannah and back in time for the choir performance yesterday
morning.
How'd
my gal do?
She did great.
Yes.
She did great. How are we doing?
Oh, I'm not worried about that.
You, not great.
You feel about like me. we in this thing.
We were there.
We in this thing.
Showing up. That's all you can do. You just got to show up. Keep showing up. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle times two to kick off the noon hour. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.